And we sing that song, our declaration of who Christ is in our life. And that Satan has no authority in here. And the reason he has no authority is because of Jesus Christ, because of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to turn the light on there for me, brother. That's how he doesn't have any authority in here. Okay? We can verbally express it, but the Spirit of God isn't in us, and we don't have anything to declare. Amen? Hear what I'm saying, church? Hear what I'm saying? The same way we just read the beginning of the service, when we read the Declaration of Independence, declaring we're going to be independent, then we're tired of this. Okay? Those are only words until we put it into action. And the only way it sustains is if we have people to back up those words. Amen? That's what it takes. Okay? And our lives are the same way we walk spiritually. Okay? When we say, Jesus is my Savior and Lord, I denounce Satan. As we say that and mean that and receive Him as our Savior and Lord, then we have the Holy Spirit within us to fight these battles that come against us. Jesus Christ is our commander in chief. We are His foot soldiers. Hear me, church? We have the power, we have the authority to decide whether Satan comes or whether he goes. Listen to me, church. You have that in your own life. You have that authority. You need to succumb to the enemy and waver and bow down, allow it control your life and everything in it. Or you declare that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, He's your commander in chief, and that you turn to Him and allow Him to have His way in your life. You see, though we can lay down our arms today and declare that we are free, we're free, and lay down our arms and be taken over by an enemy. And we say, well, we're free to do that. We're only kidding ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
If we're going to be free, set free from the power of the evil one, we have to declare and allow Jesus Christ to be our Savior and our Lord. Not just in action, but in our spirit. 100%. There's a battle raging. Like I said earlier, our military personnel, they fight the flesh and blood. But the power behind it is powers and principalities. It's the evil one that causes men's hearts to grow cold. And we've been fighting that physically ever since Adam and Eve surrendered the freedom that God gave them. We've been fighting that. And today, what we need to continue to do is declare that Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord. Not just declare it, but allow Him to rule completely in our life. To overcome the things that's attacking the church. And you individually. You know, the battle is getting greater and greater. The enemy's time is very short. The coming of the Lord is any time for the church. Any time He's coming. Can you hear me, church? He's coming for those who are following Him. Those who are sold out to Him. Not this is those who show up in church. Listen, church. You can come to church every Sunday and go straight to hell when you die. Okay? It's not a contest. Remember that. You know, well, I sat in church 50 years. I'm going to heaven. No. Your heart has to be His. You have to allow Him to be your Savior and Lord. He says to repent of our sins and be born again. Born of the Spirit that died. That died when Adam and Eve sinned. We need to be born again with Christ. And folks, the line has been drawn more and more here lately. You've been seeing it going on. You're either for me or you're 100% against me. There's no, well, I don't really, you know, whatever you think. That isn't an option no more. Our commander-in-chief shows us how to fight the wars. Amen? Amen. You know, every commander-in-chief should be one that you look at for leadership. And say, hey, this is what we place you in power. Show us how to defend us from our enemies. And we place Jesus Christ in charge of our lives. Okay, God, I surrender it. Show me, keep me from falling back in the hands of my enemy. And Jesus did that. You know, He is our commander in chief of the spiritual war. We look at Him and we see what He did. He voluntarily, like many women here in our military, He signed up for the job. He says, I'll go. I will go and I'll lay my life down to save the lives of others. And He stepped out of glory, came down upon this earth, wrapped Himself in this flesh and blood that has pain, sorrows. He purposely took that on. Become one of us to redeem us. To go, to come where we are to show us the way out. Now, to the process, He taught 12 disciples. He taught more, but 12 of them are recognized. to how to continue on when he leaves. Because the Master had to leave in order for us to have the strength we need through the Holy Spirit. Christ laid his life down for us. He doesn't expect us to do anything less. He doesn't expect anything less, Bonnie, that we lay our lives down for one another. We are bought and paid for. This is not our home. Remember, this is not our home. We're only here temporarily. Where you're here 20 years, you're here for 100 years, only temporary. And he doesn't want our eyes to be focused so much upon this earth that all we do is spend time putting stuff in our china cupboards and all this kind of stuff. All these things that we keep saving and buying more of. Well, why? Nothing's going to happen. The kids are going to fight over them. You know that? I'm proud to say I ain't got much to fight over. You know that? But we just need to be focused, guys. You know, the enemy will try to come in and do whatever he can to take what God's given you and have you use it for something God didn't intend you to do. Praise God, if you got 20 bucks in your pocket and you need 5 bucks to survive this week, that doesn't mean you take 15 bucks down here to Goodwill or Antique Mall and buy all the trades you can get for 15 bucks. You're wasting your money, and it's not the intention what God had for you. Put that money in someone's salvation. Let the Word of God go out. Your rewards will be with you in heaven. Don't care how many antiques you have, ain't none of them going with you. Even my wife, she's an antique, but she's not going with me. I'm on my own.
Oh, you're in trouble.
What are you?
Antiques are precious. Jewels. Given to me from the Lord. The big dog box, I got one. But we have to make sure that the enemy doesn't entrap us in the mind. We can be free in the body to do what we want, but our minds can be entrapped by the enemy, thinking we need this in order to be happy, or we gotta have one of these, or my neighbor just got one of these, or look what they have there. No. Everything that you have as a born-again Christian belongs to Jesus Christ. We surrender our life to Him when He died on the cross. We take it all, Lord. We want Him to take our sins, but don't take our free time. Ooh, don't do that. Take my sins, keep my butt out of hell, okay? But don't touch my Friday night. Don't take my money I use for my pleasure, Lord. Don't tell me I need to do something with that for you. No. He bought it all. And I'm telling you, our rewards will be in heaven. The sacrifices that you do upon the earth for His kingdom will not go unrecognized. Amen?
Amen.
The day is coming that He'll take us to the rewards that we have. But they're in heaven, not here on earth. What is the salvation of your loved one worth today? I mean, we can't buy a salvation, amen? Hear me, folks? You can't give me $100 today and I say, okay, you're going to heaven. You can't give me $1,000 today and say, okay, I'll pray your loved one out of hell or out of purgatory. I know, they don't work that way. We know that it's not the, okay? But the preaching of the gospel through the Holy Spirit can touch hearts of men and women and soften them just like that and cause them to come to Christ. Amen? It touched my heart 15 years ago because someone put the preaching of the gospel ahead of something else and made it available for me to hear. Do not get wrapped up in the things of this world. And these commercials say you got to have this stuff here in order to be a man or be a woman. This will make you happy. Steve, buy one of these. You know, you ever buy one, then the payment comes? Not very happy, are we? We got to watch out the tricks of the enemy. But the Master, He showed us what it would be like to follow Him. Persecution. And we're talking about veterans. There's no greater veteran than Jesus Christ. He fought our enemy, defeated it, and rose up again. But He told us, and this is heavy on my heart, He told us we will be persecuted as we follow Him. So don't take it uncommon if you're being persecuted right now. He won't forsake you. He won't leave you. You've been placed in a battle for a purpose, and that is to win souls. Amen? You know, it's kind of like you can be persecuted here for a few years if you're following Jesus Christ. Persecution don't come from, I'm being made fun of because of this or that, okay? Persecution is because of your life that you're living for Jesus Christ. Okay? Not if you're being persecuted for something that you've done or that you're doing that's not of the Bible, that's not persecution Christ is talking about. He's saying when we take a stand and say, me and my household, we shall serve the Lord, and you say, that's not coming in my house, this is getting out of my house, not around my circle, and people start making fun of you, you might lose your job, even people with just nothing new, that's persecution. That's the persecution that he's talking about that we will receive. But he says, count all joy to be persecuted for the gospel. You know, it kind of, God's always backwards, ain't he, in our way of thinking. Okay? Hey, be happy you're persecuted. But what did he say? You want something? Give it away. What? I need money. God will give some money away. How does that work? It just does, doesn't it, Kathy? I don't know. I need health. Oh, what do? Pray for those who need healing. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap. You know? Oh. So Jesus tells us up front that you will be persecuted. How many in the military will devise what your enemy will do to you if captured? I mean, imagine you went through some course and you know the enemy will do this to you or that to you. You got a heads up that that's what's going to take place if you're captured. And that will keep you running pretty good, don't it? Huh? Motivate you. Same way the Word of God. He tells us what happens. The enemy takes us and keeps us. The torture and the torment will never, ever end. He's on continually. So we have maybe some persecution today for a short time. A few years. But rewards in heaven. Or we can have our rewards of joy now by living in sin and have eternity of torture. I don't know about you, but I like the little end of the torture, not the big end of it. And that's the choice that we have. And as we declare ourselves followers of Christ, persecution will come. But it comes because others need us. Understand that. Others need to hear what we've heard. Others need to hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the enemy does not want that to be spoken. He wants to shut you up. Amen? I'll shut you up. I'll just cause your job to move on. Huh. My God said he'll supply all my needs and rich in glory in Christ Jesus. What's next? I'll cause sickness come on you. My God said, He healeth thee. What else are you going to do? I'll take this. Oh, my God will supply all my needs. You know, as we know the Word of God, and we've been learning here, you speak it out, and you pray it out. That's our weapon that we have against the evil one. The greatest thing you have is your testimony, that what Christ has done in your life. And people will always try to shut your testimonies down. But don't change it. We need our military personnel the same way that God needs His military personnel. He is counting each one of us. Remember, God does nothing upon this earth unless He does it through us. Because He gave us dominion. We have to invite Him in these situations. Amen, church? You hear that? Yes. I want to share with you a couple of our veterans that has come forth and gone. And I'm always great at speaking some of these words out. But this I'm going to speak to you about is Mrs. Zhang Hami. I believe that's how we say that. Mrs. Okay? She's a lady who was 33 years old when she was arrested by a local Chinese police in the village of Dongmeidong, China, for a Christian witness and for participating in a so-called illegal religious activities. That's worshiping Jesus. She's 33 years old. She's a born-again Christian. And now she has been arrested. The afternoon of her arrest, October the 29th, 2003, police approached her family and demanded a bribe, which would amount to about $400 of U.S. money, in order to release her. The family was unable to raise the money. So later that day, her brother and her husband came. They went to the police station to request her release. What they found there shocked them. She was bound to a bench with heavy chains. She was badly wounded and unable to speak. In spite of her deteriorating condition, The police refused to let her go. Her husband and brother were forced to leave without her. The following day, her family returned to the station where they were notified that she had died at noon that day. The autopsy report showed that she had died from internal injuries sustained from vicious beatings. Afflicted by Zane's life and outraged by her death, more than 1,000 people joined in the protest the next day in front of the city offices. Zeng Hami was ready to die rather than deny Christ. In her life, she touched many in her community. In her death, she offered a challenge and example to believers around the world. Now, that was in 2003. And sometimes we want to think, well, that doesn't happen anymore, but it happens right here in America more and more. People are coming against Christianity, and it's going to be increased. So again, do not be shocked when you're persecuted, because people are starting to hate us. They hate the truth that we share. They hate the love that we share of God. Sin is sin. It hasn't changed. We might call it a different name, some people might, but sin is still the same. And the wages of sin is death, separation from God for eternity. And He's counting on us, no matter what comes our way, to continue to share that love, even at the risk of our death. How many in here this morning is willing to die for Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen. But we need to continue to pray for one another for strength. Because we are mighty in numbers, but when we get isolated at times, the old devil will come and start talking to us. Try to get you convinced to surrender. That you're, Pat, you're worth more to, you just need to stay alive because, well, you got this person in your life, and let's go ahead and deny Christ, you know. He'll try to do these things. He'll try to reason everything there is in order for us to surrender our commitment to Jesus Christ. The enemy will do that. So we need to be prepared for that ahead of time and allow the Word of God to continue in us. To allow it to be the center part of our life. You know, every one of us here, I would say, has a loved one that needs salvation. They have not accepted the forgiveness of their sins. I imagine every one of us has that. And what we need to do is continue to reach out to those who God sends us. Even though family members might reject us, there's someone out there that God has that can witness to our family member. So as God sends them to us, and He might send me your loved ones to share the gospel, and He might send mine to you. We have to be willing to do that, no matter what the cost or the circumstances might be. Some of us might be in some type of organizations or clubs. God has you there for a reason, to speak the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? When things are contrary to what the Word of God says, He's counting up for us to stand up and say that. If you're on a school board, you're a school board member, and they're saying to do something that's not of God, that position, yeah, you need to stand up and say, wait, that is against God. Oh, we can't have that here. No, we need God in this. You might find yourself getting kicked out of the school board. You might find all kind of stuff. But God didn't call us to sit on a fluffy pillow. He called us to declare His Word. And you'll be surprised how many quiet Christians are out there. That they're afraid to say something. But when you stand up and speak, you look behind you, you're going to find a lot of people behind you standing up also. He wants us to be courageous. Speak His Word. This, some of the stuff that's coming to the school system, some of these teaching they say they're going to start doing is not of God. And we need to speak that out and say, no. Our kids don't need to learn that kind of stuff. It's a sin, and you're not going to teach them that sin's okay. You might not make a change, but at least they're going to hear what the Word of God has to say. Amen?
Amen.
And this lady, 33 years old. I mean, think about it. Where will we be without Christ? If you're here today and you're born again, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, where would you be without Him? You'd be headed to hell. Yes. You're dead in your sins, headed to hell, and you called out to the Master and say, "I surrender, save me." Wow. We owe it all to Him. Every word that we speak, every breath that we take, needs to glorify Him. And folks, if some of us here, we've got a sharp tongue, that we've been speaking things, that's not what Christ would say, we need to repent today and ask those involved to forgive you. And let the Word of God to control you and start speaking the things of the Lord. The Bible says that you don't get good water and salt water out of the same spigot. If you got salt water coming out of the spigot, the whole well is contaminated. You might draw a little bit of water slowly and something comes out not quite as salty. But if salt water coming out of that well is ruined. And folks, look at ourselves today. From our mouths, if we're speaking blessings and curses at the same time, there's no blessings inside of you. You're speaking words. Hear me, church? You're just speaking words. You need Christ to be the center of your life, His Word. You have to sell out to Him completely. We need to check ourselves. If one day you're praising God, the next day you're talking about people, you're tearing them down, cussing people out, you're fooling yourself. You got to repent. You got to truly surrender your life to Christ. Truly surrender. Time is very short. And it's not what I say, it's what the Word of God says. If you're here today, you don't have a Bible. If you don't have a, let me know. We'll find your Bible. You have to read the Word of God. Don't ever stand and take anybody's word for it. Always check on them. Even myself. Many of you people trust me, you love me, you care for me. But you owe it to yourself to read the Word of God. Because it just takes one little thing, and next thing, someone changes it, and then we're way down over here, 90 degrees off where we started. You owe it to yourself. Again, if you need a Bible, you don't have a Bible, let me know. We'll get one in your hands. It's easy to understand. Here's our second veteran we're going to look at today. Many of you, we talked about him a few weeks ago. Awesome fellow. You guys saw the movie, some of you did. His name is Polycarp. Polycarp. Christian man. It says, an elderly man in his 80s sat at a table eating dinner. Polycarp knew his life was in danger. He was living a Christian life. It was disrupting governments. People in town didn't like him because he wouldn't bow. I mean, he was a very polite gentleman, if I can say it that way, what I know of him. But God is God, His Word is His Word, and He's not going to waver. And that can offend a lot of people when they tell you to do something that's not of God. When his life was in danger, he knew it. A group of Christians had just been executed in the arena on account of their faith. He just saw other brothers and sisters, heads being chopped off, beasts tearing them apart. For their Christian faith, he saw this. Polycarp refused to leave Rome. The Romans were executing any self-proclaimed Christians, and pagans were betraying those they knew to be Christians. So pagans is anyone who's not a born-again Christian. So those who knew Christians, maybe you even be like, you got friends today that's not Christians, okay? They would say, hey, here's Maggie Garner over here, and she's a Christian. In order to get favor with the government, they might throw her another extra chicken or something for dinner. Selling the Christians out. And there's nothing new under the sun. It continues on today. A renowned follower of Christ and Bishop Polycarp had become a Christian under the tutelage of John, the Apostle. Remember John the Revelator? This guy was taught by John. Recently, the Roman consul had been looking for him for days. After arresting and torturing one of Polycarp's servants, they finally learned where he was staying. The soldiers came into the house, But instead of taking off, instead of running away, Polycarp calmly stated, "Well, God's will be done." Polycarp asked that food be brought for the soldiers, and he requested an hour for prayer. Amazed by Polycarp's fearlessness, especially for a man his age, the hardened Roman soldiers granted his request. He prayed for 2 hours for all the Christians he knew and for the universal church, and the soldiers let him. So here they come. The enemy came to his house, gone and dragged him away. He knew he's got a death sentence. "Okay, I know you guys got to be tired. Have a seat. We're going to feed you. Have a bite to eat. Just give me an hour or two to pray." Wow, okay. And he didn't pray that he'd be released from this. He prayed for his brothers and sisters, that they'd be strengthened. He even prayed for his enemies. Wow, that's very powerful, is it not? As Polycarp entered the stadium, that's a Roman stadium there, several Christians present heard a voice from heaven say, "Be strong, Polycarp, and act like the man." Because of his age, a Roman consul gave Polycarp a final chance to live. He just had to swear by Caesar and say, "Take away the atheists." Because at that time, Christians were called atheists for refusing to worship the Greek and the Roman gods. So, you know, we were first called Christians because we looked like Christ, and first called atheists because we wouldn't worship the false gods. So if he was to say, "Take away the atheist," he declare himself to be a believer of the false gods. But Polycarp looked at the roaring crowds. He gestured to them, and I imagine he probably went like this. He probably looked at where Caesar, "All you got to do is say, take away the atheist." So he looked at him, looked at the crowd, and he goes, "Take away the atheist." He turned the words around, saying, "These people are atheists. They're the ones that doesn't believe in the true God." He said it, but he said it towards them, not towards himself. Well, needless to say, that didn't go over very well, you know. The consul continued, "Swear I will let you go. Turn away from Christ. Deny Jesus." This is what they're telling this 86-year-old man. "Deny him. We'll let you go. We'll let you live." Polycarp turned to the consul and boldly declared, "86 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me?" The consul urged him again, "Swear by the fortune of Caesar." But Polycarp replied, "Since you vainly think that I will swear by the fortune of Caesar, as you say, pretend not to know who I am, listen carefully. I am a Christian," is what he told him. The consul threatened, "I have wild beasts. I will throw you to them if you do not repent." Polycarp replied, "Call them, for we cannot repent from what is better to what is worse, but it is noble to turn from what is evil to what is righteous." A torment that's going to all tear you apart. And we go through that today even. The enemy gets a hold of us, and we start to get away from him. We will leave, and it threatens to tear us up, expose us, destroy us. We have to just declare the same thing. So, do it. Some of us will be caught in sin, embarrassing sin, and we want out of it. But in order to come out of it, you're threatened to exposure to the people around you. Hear me, church? Believe me, I'll tell everyone what you did. What? You gonna quit doing this? I'll tell. And because of fear of that, we don't break away from the evil. And if we can just do the same thing that Polycarp did, and you got the same spirit in us, so go ahead. Expose me. Yes, I've sinned. I've repented from it. Call the Tribune. Put it on the front page of the paper. Call whoever you want. My God is more important to me than my flesh upon this earth. And folks, some of us sitting here today, we just need to make that declaration and say it. Oh, go ahead. I'm done. I'm not going to do it no more. I'm out of it. And you'll be threatened with all kind of stuff. Go ahead. We'll call. Here, call. Go ahead, call. I'm done. That's what Polycarp was saying. Good. Bring the beast in. Tear me apart. I'm a Christian. That stuff is behind me now. Then the council threatened Polycarp with fire. But he responded, "You threaten me with a fire that burns an hour and is soon quenched. For you are ignorant of the fire of the coming judgment and eternal punishment stored up for the ungodly. But why do you delay? Do what you want." Wow. Again, that's having our mind set that the fires of hell is eternal. Fires upon this earth is only brief. He said, "Oh, good. I mean, I'm not going to deny Christ. I am not going to deny Jesus Christ as my Savior, Lord. Light that torch. Get it done. I'll burn for an hour or so. But I'll be in the presence of my God. I'm not going to spend eternity in hell in the flames by denying my Master." Finally, the council sent a note to the middle of the stadium to announce that Polycarp was confessing his faith as a Christian. He won't give it up. The crowd shouted for Philip to send a lion against Polycarp, but he refused. Then they shouted for Polycarp to be burned. They moved him to the marketplace and prepared the fire. Polycarp was undressed and climbed up. But when they were going to nail him, he told them, "Leave me like this. He who gives me to endure the fire will also give me to remain on the fire without your security from the nails." They're going to nail him in the fire, that way he couldn't take off. I don't need that. God will give me the strength to stand here. I won't take off. Oh. So they did not nail him, but tied him up. Bravely, Polycarp prayed as the soldiers prepared the wood. He said, "O Lord God Almighty, Father of your beloved and blessed Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have received knowledge of you, God of angels and powers of all creation, and of the whole race of the righteous who live before you, I bless you that you consider me worthy of this day and hour to receive a part in the number of the martyrs in the cup of your Christ, for the resurrection to eternal life, both of soul and of body, and the incorruptible of the Holy Spirit. Among them may I be welcomed before you today by a fat and acceptable sacrifice, just as you previously prepared and made known and you fulfilled. And a true God that you are. Because of this and for all things, I praise you, I bless you, I glorify you through the eternal and heavenly high priest, Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, through whom we glory, you with him and the Holy Spirit, both now and for all ages to come. Amen." Polycarp's time was short. And he praising God with his last breath. That was in 70 to 100 when the time this took place. And here we are 2,000 years later being encouraged what Polycarp did. Encouraged that we can overcome anything. The Romans had threatened Polycarp with beast and with fire, but nothing would make him turn against Jesus. After his prayer, the man lit the fire, which sprang up quickly. But even the fire wouldn't touch him as it formed an arc around Polycarp's body. Right on top of him. Fire would not even touch him. The Romans didn't know what to make of this. In the end, the Romans commanded and executed to stab him. A great quality of blood put out the remaining fire. But Polycarp bled to death. Wow. That's another one of our veterans. And we might say, "Well, that's awful cruel. Why would God let us go through this?" God redeemed us at the moment we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And just as He allowed His Son to go through it to redeem us, to show us the love of God, we purposely agree, "Yes, God, I'll do the same." To bring others to Jesus Christ. People say, "Well, there's a loving God. Why would He let this happen?" Well, there's a loving God. That's why He allows it to happen. There's a cost to follow Jesus. A true cost. And to these things we describe today through Polycarp and Mrs. Zhang, there's nothing new under the sun. Now we might not be burnt, we might not be done into beasts, but we have attacks against us all the time that makes us waver. Just think, Fred, a fire. Even a fire. He said, okay, you don't need to nail me there. They probably had to wrap a chain around me and handcuff me there, you know? I don't know. I pray to God I'd be that strong. Yeah. But I'm telling you, I mean, that's okay. I mean, I can't lie to you. Jesus is my Savior and Lord. I'm a follower of Christ. I don't care what you offer to do to me. You can't change it. I've been born again. So I'm sorry if you don't like me. I'm sorry what I say and it makes you feel bad. But the truth is the truth. That's what Polycarp is saying. And we have to look at ourselves and make sure that we stay strong enough to do the same. Some of us, we waver on the gospel just because, well, you won't invite me to Thanksgiving dinner. Or, I won't be invited to the next card game. I don't laugh at the dirty jokes anymore. But Darryl, if I don't, they won't invite me back to this party and stuff. And, well, it's better to just be there. Just be there anyway, you know. That's Satan getting in your head there. Yeah. If you're a follower of Christ, you're a follower of Christ. I mean, a beast and fire didn't stop Polycarp. What's stopping us today? What is that one thing that raises up to shut your mouth when it comes to living for Christ? I don't know. I got my own deals I got to deal with. Whatever it is, God will give you the strength. So Lord, just strengthen me today either to walk away from this situation or, Father God, to proclaim you in this situation. His coming is very soon. And it's not just this church. The Word of God is in every church. So whether you hear it or not, it is a thing. We need to read the Word of God. We need to hear the Word of God. Why? Because hell is real. You know, we've been looking at us being the light and shining the light of Christ in the lives of people around us. That's what Polycarp was doing. Wasn't that what the Master was doing, Jesus? Sharing the light? Because people do go to hell. In fact, the gate to hell is so wide. I mean, it's big. The gate to heaven is small. Because people, they want to continue to take their pride with them. You still want to walk in unforgiveness, unbelief. We want to walk still gossiping or lying, stealing, fornicating, adultery, homosexuality, deceiving. All of them are sins. And the Bible says anyone who continues to practice such things will not get into the kingdom of God. So imagine me carrying a couple of the things with me. Okay, Jack? Billy. And here's a small gate to get in heaven. Well, I can't get to the door. Because I haven't given this up or this up. Well, I gotta go somewhere. I mean, the lion's pushing me. Gate of hell is wide open. When you get this point and you're knocking, trying to get to the door, it's too late to repent. Understand that. There's no time to repent once you die. And you can lay on your deathbed and repent, and your heart's there, God will forgive you. But as Joshua said, for me and my house, today we choose to serve the Lord. Once your breath is gone, the heartbeat's gone, there's nothing no one can do for you. I wish there was. I bet Jesus wished there was. You know that, Joe? You know, I was born up raised in a faith that if I died, you could pray me into heaven. But just think, if you could pray me into heaven, why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? You know? I mean, if there was an easier way out, I would have took it. Do you think the Master would? The only way was to die on the cross, and only through Him. Receiving Him as our Savior and Lord is the only way to get to heaven. I wish it was an easier way. But there's not. We're all born in sin. Amen? We all need forgiveness. We all need to repent from our sins. Allow Jesus Christ to be our Savior and Lord. And we need to continue to shine the light. I'm sharing a scripture with you. Revelation 14. If you're taking notes, this is one of the notes on that pad I gave you a few weeks ago. I'll just read it out to you. It's Revelation 14, verse 9 and 10. And we're talking about the hell is real. Because a lot of people are convinced anymore that hell doesn't exist. People are saying a loving God won't send anybody to hell. A loving God doesn't send anybody to hell. People choose to go. We are born in sin. We are already born in the destination of hell. Through His love and grace, Christ died on the cross to redeem us from our sins. And we accept Him as a Savior and Lord. We get to go to heaven. He wants us there. It's kind of like Jack, I give you a choice. You know, you have the keys to my car, or you can walk. You know what I'm saying? It's your choice. You got to decide which way you want to go. I don't have a car, so. But verse 9 says, and another angel, a third one, followed him, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives a mark on his forehead or upon his hand, he also would drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. That's the Word of God. That's in Revelation chapter 14. And when it comes to the Word of God, you either believe it or you don't believe it. Amen? When you start picking and choosing, I'll believe this, I won't believe that, then you're in trouble. It's either all or none. Now, there might be plenty in the Bible you don't understand. Amen? I'm still learning. But to say, I don't believe in it, you got to say, I believe it because God said it, but I don't understand it. And then learn what He's talking about. There's nothing wrong about questioning God. God, I don't understand. I've done that many times. Show me, God. And He will. The Holy Spirit will guide us. In Luke 16:24, He says, and He cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue. For I am agony in this flame. So again, the rich man died. He went to the bosom, or he went to Hades or hell. Lazarus went to the bosom of Abraham, which would be, give me 30 seconds here. Before Christ died on the cross, when a person died as a believer, they went to the bosom of Abraham. One side was paradise, the other side was hell. They could not enter into heaven yet because Christ's blood had not redeemed mankind. The minute Christ died on the cross, and He gave up His life, and His blood ran out, He went into the pits of hell and released the captives, the Christians who were there in the paradise side. They went into heaven. Today when you die, the second you die, you're either in the presence of God or you're in hell. There's no in-between place. Okay? So here's the rich man looking across the divide, and he sees over there in paradise, Lazarus kicked back. He says, man, I'm in torture. Send Lazarus just a little glass of water. So now those over here can't come to you. And he told the rich man, he said, well, send Lazarus to tell my brothers, who are just as wicked as I am, to turn away from their sins. Man, someone from the dead came back to life and told them that they'd believe. But Abraham said, even if the dead come back to life, people won't believe. And folks, that's what Jesus did. He came back to life, and people have a hard time believing that. But with the Holy Spirit, hearts can be touched. But suffering and the flame is real. Matthew 13:42. He said, and I will cast them into the furnace of fire, in that place where there shall be weeping and gagging of teeth. Jesus is speaking. That's what's going to happen. He doesn't want that. Listen up. Hell was created for who? The fallen angels. Amen. And the angels hate us so much because we're made in the image of God that they do whatever they can to deceive us, to take us to hell. Because if you can't get to me, go after my kids. And that's what Satan is doing. They can't get to God. God, he ain't going to make God change. So to get after God, he goes after God's creation. He tries to deceive us. He don't have nothing to do with it. He don't care for us at all. But he knows as he deceives one of us, and one person goes to hell, He's coming against God. And it breaks God's heart because we all have got a free will. We got a free choice. He doesn't want one of us to perish, but He cannot force us to receive the forgiveness of our sins. He can't force us to say, no, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. He can't force us to do that. He just gives us every opportunity to do that. And again, folks, that's what He's counting on us. I'll close with that, that. We are veterans. We are fighting a war, a spiritual battle. We fight on our hands and knees. We fight it with the Word of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit. And we need to be in constant battle day in and day out. Just as our veterans, when they would sign up, they were there 2 years, 4 years, however long they were. They engaged the enemy, no matter where they found them, here or abroad. They didn't run. They engaged the enemy. And the same here. Sometimes the enemy is in our own house. The enemy is in our house. And we got to find out where he's hiding. What's that? Not flesh and blood, yes. Yeah, not flesh and blood. It's not that spouse that you hate. Or that kid that you hate. It's the enemy. Powers and principalities. As you declare your word of God, His word in your house, and ye, I declare this day that we shall serve the Lord. The enemy will raise up and battle for a little bit, but keep on the word of God. Don't surrender. And that house will come under the hand of God, and peace will reign in that household. So don't get mad at them. Pray for them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your word this day, and we thank you, God, for the brave veterans, both in the spiritual realm and in the physical realm, Lord. And may both of them guide us. May both of them encourage us to live a life that's pleasing to you, to share what you've given us with others. And God, may we be prepared for the day of the coming of the Lord. And Father, if anyone's gathered here today and something they've heard is different, new, or they don't quite understand, God, just move upon their hearts today, Lord, that they're not, just leave it there. God, that they'll question, they'll come and say, I don't understand. And we can share the word and let the Holy Spirit touch their lives like He touched mine a few years ago. And that light came on, I understood. Plenty of things we don't understand, but through the Holy Spirit and through studying the word, we receive knowledge. We thank you for that and the wisdom you give us, Lord. God, we just pray again today for our brothers and sisters who are in chains because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that they may be encouraged today. God, that their faith will increase. And Father, that wherever you have them placed, that they'll be bold and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to their captors. And we pray for the families right now, God, that maybe the spouses are incarcerated. And Father, we pray for their strength and their peace. And Lord, whatever we have that we may share with others, God, show us how to do it also, Lord. And Father, for our military around the world today that's separated from their families, Lord, we pray for their safety, pray for their protection. We pray, God, for the Christian chaplains that they would just continue to share your word, that God, that they would help those that are serving the country, those who are laying their life down for us, God. May they show them the one who laid their life down for us for eternity. And may they come to full knowledge and acceptance of Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. We pray for the families, Lord. And again, God, military families, Father, there's ones that in need that we have that we can share, Lord. Let us show the love of God by sharing what we have, Father. God, we thank you for your word this day. And to you be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.